Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your...
Phil?
Phil?
Was that Mike P?
Yeah.
What did Mike P say just before he left?
Fuck him.
I think he did say that. Good evening, everybody, on behalf of the Feeling Bill Show. How are we doing, buddy?
Good.
Good 4th of July?
Yeah, everything's good.
We have a lot to talk about tonight. We got some, you and I both taking off together this weekend for an adventure, so that's kind of nice to have. I want to talk a little bit about some COC and non-com news a little bit and all that. Weather is perfect right here in San Diego for everybody interested. You know, take off, we should fly down nonstop, no muss, no fuss. Get to Mexico, across the border, no beef anywhere, gorgeous, gorgeous weather. I hope everybody out there's got good weather. And I hope everybody had a good 4th of July also. And I hope everybody's in good health. I keep getting older, I realize the importance of good health, boys and girls. Many of us have a tendency to abuse our bodies when we're younger, and now it's catching up on us. I, for one, don't bounce as good as I used to. I don't know about you,
no,
brother.
No. Not at all.
You want to jump anything special? You want to jump on about my COC? Good. Give me the light. Can I get the light there?
Yeah.
Because I
remember. We can talk about that, and then we're going to go to motorcycle club.
Yeah, we got some news on that, but we'll talk about this a little bit here.
Yeah.
There are two special gatherings here at Bikers in California. The annual Freedom Rally at the Capitol Steps in Sacramento, May 6th. The 20th Annual Non-Com Convention held Mother's Day weekend, May 9th to 12th in Reno, Nevada. Now, the reason I'm talking about this, even though they're already dated, is I want people to understand the importance of getting involved, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The Freedom Rally was attended by a statewide gathering of concerned and motivational bikers representing the freedoms and interests of the complete motorcycle community. Excuse me, folks. The event allows the COCs and the MROs, now we know COCs if you listen to the show, MROs are the motorcycle rights organizations, and independents. You don't have to belong to an organization. Makes it better for all of us if you do, but if you're an individual, you're an independent, that's fine. So independents and the MROs all got together to gather and show solidarity, to meet with our various political representatives in the Capitol, send a message to all that we care about our rights, freedoms, and voices in California. After meeting on the steps of the Capitol, listening to speakers from both the biker and political world, we were all able to meet with our local senators, assemblymen, and their staff to introduce ourselves and discuss our views and concern. I encourage all bikers to be aware of and meet with your local politicians and give them support and educate them to our needs and concerns with respects to our rights and legislation. Now, I'm paraphrasing all this. No, I'm bullshit. I'm just stealing this statement here. This is actually from a gentleman. His name is Spike. He's one of the big cheeses in the Hessian Motorcycle Club by the West Coast. This is not only a hardcore motorcycle rider, and I mean on a seriously hardcore, he's concerned for all of our motorcycle rights. He's on the front line day after day talking what we can do. So many of us are sitting in the bars and bad-mouthing it. He is telling us how to get involved. Go to see your congressmen, senators. Get out there. Do something. Okay, now, I'm not going to read everything in here because there's too much in here. But some of the stuff that he talked about here was Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, Wisconsin Republican, introduced a bill to prohibit the United States Department of Transportation, the old DOT, from providing funds to state and local authorities for the purpose of creating motorcycle-only checkpoints. Man, they've been picking on us for too many years, folks. It's got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Filed on May 7th, the Stop Motorcycle Checkpoint Funding Act, H.R. 1861, you've talked about that in the show, right. I was heard about that, also encouraged and contains language to force the DOT to focus on motorcycle safety efforts on crash preventive programs, not national helmet mandates, according to Representative, again, Sensenbrenner. I'm getting better at the guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
This will stop the DOT from manipulating state policies with federal money. Now, Spike's going to tell us here in a second here how we can get involved. Now, for example, you contact your federal representatives and request they support H.R. 1861, and if they sign on as a co-sponsor of Sensenbrenner's bill. Now, directly, all members of Congress through the state capitol switchboard 202-243121. Tells you exactly how to contact your state member. This is a good friend of ours, Spike, and both Phil and I have known Spike for many, many years. And again, he's a member of the Hessians Motorcycle on the West Coast. I'm going to try to, he writes a report in a publication called Southern California Edition, Biker's Information Guide. I'm going to try intermittently to see if I can plagiarize some of the stuff from him. And by the way, I did ask him, blah, 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 and he said, of course, it's not about him. It's not about what he's doing. If we can get the message out for all of us. But he's telling everybody, no matter where you are, get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit in the bar, complain about what's going on. Get involved. Everybody at a different level.
Get your ass off the stool.
Yeah, why are some people like him doing so much work? And you and I, we do a lot, but we can do more too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some people out there that really just aren't helping. All they're doing is sitting there complaining. And... you know, if you don't do something about it, you deserve what you get. Can you dig
or
it, baby?
Or deserve what you tolerate.
There you go. God, I wish you were all out here, folks. This is such beautiful weather. Nora, good evening. Are you out there tonight, sweetheart?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Well, Deep and I are just kind of a little got that anxious thing on tonight because we're leaving for Mexico this weekend, so we're kind of... You know, we're here, we're okay, we're going to go do the show. Tomorrow I'm going to go with my bike, I'll do service on my bike, tires, oil, make sure I have the battery okay. But it's like one day, the calm before the storm. I am so, so ready. We'll be talking about Mexico later, won't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Okay, so other than that, we're doing good out here. And yourself,
good.
How you doing, dear?
Not too bad. I got the little guy with me. But he's okay. I already fed him, and he's just laying there holding his blankie and just being your little boy.
Well, just think, someday maybe grow up long hair, beard, man, a Harley Davidson, if you're lucky.
Who knows? But since you weren't on the show Tuesday, I will let you know. Phil already knows, but you don't. I'll catch you up to speed here in Illinois because there's so many killings taking place in Chicago. The governor is ready to bring in the National Guard.
For this to be patrolling the streets or to what level, dear?
To patrol the streets.
Oh, my God. You know,
and you know what that's going to mean.
We're one step away from anarchy and revolution, for God's sakes.
I know. But the conceal and carry is close to being in public now. Close to it. To where you can conceal and carry in public. Before they were trying to have it where it was just where you can conceal and carry and not in public places. They're pushing for it to be in public as well.
My sister-in-law, my brother's wife, Carrie Kennedy, she surprised me this week. She's signing up for all kind of rifle lessons. I said, you mean, you know, like pistols? She said, no, I'm going to specialize in rifles and shotguns. Bill, they expect little girls to have little pistols. I want to get involved with weapons, and I want to do rifles, pistols, and all that. So I thought that was a little different for a girl to get involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
Hope she
oh, yeah.
Enjoys-
I learned at a young age how to shoot, and so big guns never scared me. I don't have any anymore. I used to possess 12. and that range from 38 to 30-06.
She'll be calling saying they broke down her door looking for 12 guns.
Yeah.
No, because everybody knows I sold them. You know.
Yeah, I'm sure they all went, so blah, blah.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm not worried about it. They're all gone. But they were legal, you know. But I didn't have a problem popping them in the backyard. That's just how I was. I'd ask the neighbors, did you hear anything? No, didn't hear nothing. Okay.
You know, I'm not a fanatic. I would like to move to a place where I can go out in the backyard and do what you just said, pop off a couple rounds. I'd like to buy a little piece of property where I can step out in my backyard naked and just watch the moon. It's not that I'm a nudist. It's just that I'd like to be somewhere where I have just a little bit of my own rights, something I can do what I want to do. I don't want to offend anybody by saying, oh, Bill's naked. Well, first of all, don't look at me if it bothers you. But I'm thinking, I'd just like to be able to step out in the back and just, I don't know, why do I got to put clothes on for everything? I don't know.
You mean you can't be in your yard right now? I mean, like, at nighttime, obviously, but you can't be in your yard at dark, naked?
No, I've got a big pool, a large pool, and it's always lit up. Well, you know, actually, I could shut the pool lights off, too, and that'd be perfect.
Right.
But the
make
pool
sure
lights kicking.
Kids are at the daycare next door.
Yeah, well, they're all gone by nighttime. No, I definitely could shut
I've done it at my yard, and I've got, like, an apartment building behind my house. I got the neighbor's house on the left side of me, and then electric company on the other side. I don't care. It's dark.
I was over in Arizona a while back. I don't know if I told the story or not. I was visiting a friend of mine, and she has a piece of property, and the front door actually faces, like, it's mountains. It's kind of like in a horseshoe shape, and she's facing all of them, so there's no neighbors. So I get up. She went to work one morning very early, and I decided I'm going to go out and stand on her patio naked. Again, I'm not upset with this. I just know that finally I'm out in the middle of the desert, a state of Arizona. There's nothing anywhere at all, and I swear to you this happened to me. I'm outside. The phone rings. So I go inside, pick the phone. She says, Bill, are you in my patio naked? And I go, did one of your neighbors call up and complain? She said, no, nobody called up and complained, Bill. I just knew how much you always said one day you want to walk outside naked. And I said, well, and she goes, stay inside the house. We have got bark scorpions, almost invisible little tiny suckers. They won't kill you, but they will bite you in a heartbeat. And I went, damn, my one chance to get naked, and now I got faced with bark scorpions.
Oh, that's bad. But thank God you didn't get bit.
I was out there. Just, I don't know, you know. She was at work and just had a, you know, flashback. Oh, my God, I bet you Bill's naked in my backyard. So she called, actually, her front yard, excuse me. I'm sure those people in Arizona walk around naked all the time. What the hell?
Yep.
She wanted me to stay, by the way. I want to show everybody. The weekend I was leaving, she said, can you stay one more weekend? And I said, no. I gotta roll out. She said, this weekend we have the annual migration of the tarantulas across Golden Valley, Arizona.
Oh.
And I said, well, what do you do? She said, we get to watch these big, giant tarantulas by the thousands and thousands come right through the valley. I got to think, you know, maybe Arizona's a little bit not up for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what the hell? Maybe they like that stuff. Those tarantulas get pretty big, Philip. There's some of them pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that.
I missed them all. I missed them all.
It's okay.
Okay.
So, you guys are leaving tomorrow, and you'll be back next week, or just going for the weekend?
Yeah, we'll be back late Sunday, Monday. Kind of all depends on the mood. There is a nice motorcycle run going on. I'd like to give them a good shout-out. The Violators of San Diego are going to put on a big party. Unfortunately for us, it is the exact same day as Mexico. Now, they said if we cross the border, they should be so many of them still hung over. They should still be waiting for us. So these are really old-fashioned. They're younger guys, but they are really into having some crazy fun. I mean, just old-fashioned crazy stuff. They actually, I don't know if I can say this, I heard they have some jousting going on. Guys on motorcycles coming at each other and knocking each other off the motorcycles.
Right.
They have every crazy thing you can imagine going on. This is not a hang around, get bored crowd at all. So we pay great respects to the violators out of San Diego. Hope you have a good time, guys.
You know that. You know how we got censorship, Bill?
We have censorship, Phil. Oh, yeah.
This is Rod Sterling. He's talking to Mike Wallace about sponsors and censorship on TV. Even though this interview was done in 1959, Bill, it still rings true today.
Well, it was the censors that pretty much took him off the air for a while. He couldn't take all the bullshit. They were taking away the meat of his stories.
Right, so.
Okay.
Well, we hear a lot about censorship as a writer on TV, though I hear a deal about it in your own case especially. Well, depending, of course, on the thematic treatment you're using, if you have the temerity to try to dramatize a theme that involves any particular social controversy currently extant, then you're in deep trouble. For instance, a racial theme, for example. The case in point, I think, a show I did for the Steel Hour some years ago, 3 years ago, called Noon on Doomsday, which was a story which purported to tell what was the aftermath of the alleged kidnapping in Mississippi of the Till Boy, the young Chicago Negro. And I wrote the script using black and white initially. Then it was changed to suggest an unnamed foreigner. And the locale was moved from the South to New England. And I'm convinced they'd have gone up to Alaska or the North Pole if and using Eskimos as a possible minority, except I suppose the costume problem was of sufficient severity not to attempt it. But it became a lukewarm, vitiated, emasculated kind of show.
You went along with it?
All the way. I protested. I went down fighting, as most television writers do, thinking in a strange, oblique, philosophical way that better say something than nothing. In this particular show, though, by the time they had finished taking Coca-Cola bottles off the set because the sponsor claimed that this had southern connotations, suggesting to what depth they went to make this a clean, antiseptically, rigidly acceptable show. Why, it bore no relationship at all to what we had purported to say initially.
Patty Chayefsky has talked about the insidious influence of what he calls pre-censorship. How does that work?
Pre-censorship is a practice, I think, of most television writers. I can't speak for all of them. This is the prior knowledge of the writer of those areas which are difficult to try to get through. And so a writer will shy away from writing those things which he knows he's going to have trouble with on the sponsorial or an agency level. We practice it all the time. We just do not write those things which we know are going to get into trouble.
Who's the culprit? Is it the network? The sponsor? It sure is not the FCC.
No, it's certainly not the FCC, ideally speaking, of course. It's a combination of culprits in this case, Mike. It's partly network. It's principally agency and sponsor. In many ways, I think it's the audience themselves.
How do you mean?
Well, I'll give you an example. About a year ago, roughly 11 or 12 months ago, on the Lassie show, this is a story usually told by Sheldon Leonard, who was then associated with the show. Lassie was having puppies, and I have two little girls, then aged 5 and 3, who were greatly enamored of this beautiful collie, and they watched the show with great interest, and Lassie gave birth to puppies. And Mike, it was probably one of the most tasteful and delightful and warm things, depicting what is this wondrous thing that is birth. And after the show, I think there were many congratulations all around, because it was a lovely show. The sort of thing I'd love my kids to watch, to show them what is the birth process and how marvelous it is. They got many, many cards and letters, sample cards from the deep south, this was. If I wanted my kids to watch sex shows, I wouldn't have had to turn on that. I could take them to burlesque shows. And as a result of the influx of mail, many of the cards, incidentally, as Sheldon tells it, were postmarked at identical moments, all in the same handwriting, but each was counted as a singular piece of mail. And as a result, the directive went down that there would be no shows having anything to do with puppies. That is, in the actual birth process. Well, obviously, it is this wild, lunatic fringe of letter writers that greatly affect what the sponsor has in mind.
You can understand the position of the sponsor.
I can, in many ways, I suppose I can. He's there to push a product.
He has a considerable stake, thus, in what goes on the air.
Most assuredly. And in those cases, where there is a problem of public taste, in which there is a concern for a
eliciting negative response from a large mass of people. I can understand why the guys are frightened. I don't understand, Mike, for example, other evidences and instances of intrusion by sponsors. For example, on Playhouse 90, not a year ago, a lovely show called Judgment of Nuremberg. I think probably one of the most competently done and artistically done pieces that 90's done all year. Kenneth, as you recall, mention was made of gas chambers.
Yeah.
And the line was deleted, cut off the soundtrack. And it mattered little to these guys that the gas involved in concentration camp was cyanide, which bore no resemblance, physical or otherwise, to the gas used in Stowe. They cut the line
because the sponsor was.
We did not want that awful association made between what was the horror and the misery of Nazi Germany with the nice, chrome, wonderfully antiseptically clean, beautiful kitchen appliances that they were selling. Now, this is an example of sponsor interference, which is so beyond logic and which is so beyond taste. This I rebel against.
You know, Phil, I had a chance to meet that man, and he came to my college back in the 70-something. He truly was so far ahead of himself. He's not attacking people. What he's really doing is just telling people, this is what's going on. Wake up, America. And as you know, on a personal level, I've had problems with sponsors before.
A motorcycle club says it was just doing...
Hold on, let's get into this one over here again. Yeah. Real quick, that was Rod Stewart, Rod Sterling, you know, the Twilight Zone and all that. True, you get a chance to see a lot of interesting stuff about him. Now, let's get back into some motorcycle stuff.
Yeah, Motorcycle Club sues Rio Vista, California, in a discrimination lawsuit. So
where the hell is Rio Vista? Mid-Cal?
North.
Okay, yeah.
Well, we were discriminated against.
A motorcycle club says it was just doing things by the book when they filed to get a permit to hold a barbecue fundraiser at a local park in Rio Vista. But the city and the police chief turned down that simple request.
Well, now the motorcycle club is filing a lawsuit claiming that it was discriminated against. News 10's Suzanne Fahn joins us now to explain. Suzanne?
Well, the motorcycle club said it did nothing wrong. It just wanted to hold its fundraising pig roast at the same park where dozens of other community events have been held. Sporting tattoos, leather jackets, and motorcycles, the Saxon Creed might not look like your typical charity fundraisers, but they'll tell you they've got just as much right to gather as the next group.
Saxon Creed event canceled due to claims of discrimination.
It made local headlines last July when the city of Rio Vista denied their permit request to hold a fundraising pig roast at Black Welder Park.
No one other than us has ever tried to put in a permit. We thought we were doing the right thing.
After a year of discussion and debate, the group filed a discrimination lawsuit last Tuesday, claiming its civil rights were violated. They're suing for $250,000 in damages on behalf of their 15 members.
That makes me very angry. Very angry. This is America. We all have rights. I don't like seeing anybody's rights stomped on.
5 days before the event last year, the motorcycle group received notice from the police chief denying the permit. According to the letter, the decision was based in part on false or misleading information. The group doesn't know what that could be.
We don't have anything to hide. Just trying to do it the right way, and we were denied.
It's a major disappointment.
Member Mike Wilson believes the bikers are getting an unfair shake.
It's just a nice group of guys that want to ride. And I don't know why they're preventing us from gathering together.
The group held their pig roast this year without any problems at the Veterans Hall, right next door to the park they applied to last year.
We have the right to gather peacefully.
Yeah, without a reason. I don't see why they should deny it. We haven't given them a reason.
We contacted the Rio Vista police chief and the city for comment. They did not return our calls tonight. We also called the city manager. He said he could not comment on the matter. Now, Rio Vista City Council will be discussing this issue during closed session on July 16th.
All right, now, I don't know, first of all, why they're getting upset. This affects us bikers every single day. But what I am pleased is they've decided to stop complaining about it.
And
now they've taken, that's the message we're trying to get across right here, folks.
And do it.
Yeah.
We're whining about it and do it.
That's right. Now, we're not, you know, implying that these guys are whining, but this is a statement to you people out there. You people, stop whining. Start doing stuff about it. More, it comes a point in time when you've got to stand up and be counted. Philip and I applaud these gentlemen in Rio Vista, California, and I'm glad they're stepping up doing something. Everybody is going to, at some point in time, say, we got to get on board.
Right. I mean, now here's another one, though. In Oregon, though, drivers can be stopped and searched even if they did not commit a traffic violation.
What would be the probable cause? I don't see that.
The Supreme Court had no problem on Wednesday authorizing police officers to detain and search a motorist who committed no traffic violation worth ticketing. James Kenneth Watson had been driving through Myrtle Creek on April 21st when Officer Chris Malik recognized him and decided to pull him over. Officer Malak claimed that Watson's car briefly crossed over the double yellow line painted in divider stripes. Watson said he drifted a bit because he dropped his cell phone and reached down to grab it. When pulled over, Officer Malak decided not to issue a ticket. He just asked for license registration and began questioning Watson. While he waited for dispatch to confirm the license check for arrest warrants, Watson was ordered out of his vehicle and asked whether he was a drug dealer or he would submit to a search. Watson refused. Deputy Clayton Rubel arrived in the scene and claimed he smelled a pretty strong odor of marijuana that Officer Malik had not noticed. An officer with a drug dog was called to the scene to sniff Watson's car. The dog indicated and marijuana cocaine were found. By the time the search ended, dispatch called back to confirm that Watson had no warrants and the license was clean. Watson's attorney moved to suppress the evidence from the search he maintained had been illegal. We allowed review to address the constitutional limits on police action during the course of a lawful traffic stop. Martha Walters explained in the court's opinion, this court had not often considered the constitutional limits on police activity during lawful traffic stops due in part to the role that Oregon statutory law has played in the analysis. Like the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, Oregon's Constitution protects against unreasonable searches. State law lays out an explicit authority of police to detain a person for traffic violation when investigation reasonably related to violation the court found sufficient to pull over Watson. In the case before us, Malik's stop of the defendant was lawful at its inception. Although Malik lacked probable cause to arrest the defendant, he had probable cause to believe the defendant had committed a non-criminal traffic violation. Watson argued he was detained for 10 minutes for a warrants check and criminal investigation into drug use that was unrelated to traffic stop. The court disagreed. Contrary to the defendant's position, however, verification of a person's identity and the issuance of a citation are not the only activities that may be reasonably related to the investigation. An officer who stops the driver also may release the driver, and reasonable investigation may therefore include a determination whether the driver has valid driving privileges. Court declined to consider whether the officer's other actions, including asking about drugs and ordering Watson out of the vehicle, constituted constitutional violations because they did not lead to discovery of the contraband. Deputy Rubel's smelling of the marijuana was led to the discovery, the court concluded. This guy just got fucked.
He just got hosed. Man riding down the road. Okay, now if you've done something wrong, you've done something wrong. If you've not done anything wrong, then they should have no right to just... Besides that, for you people out here who don't understand what's going on, I'm going to make this simple for you. I want you to buy two cars.
Mm-hmm.
And only smoke your dope in one car and don't smoke no dope in the other car. That way when you go for a ride, there is no way they can stop you. But if you're going to smoke dope in your car, then, you know, boys and girls, I'm not telling you to smoke dope or not smoke dope, but I'm telling you, what right do you really have to complain when the dogs say, oh, we smell, you know, dope and all that? You don't do stuff like that in your own cars.
Nope.
Again, we're not telling you how you live your life, but we're just trying to say to you, you've got to protect yourself. You've got to start thinking correctly. And when you relax your guard, that's when you make a mistake. Right, Phil?
That's correct. You know,
I love it when they pull you over and they say, oh, found a seed or two in your ashtray. Oh, my God. Why don't you just take that person out and shoot him? All right.
In Illinois, they passed it to where, you know, before, if you had a vehicle that was parked on the boulevard end of your driveway, if you lived off the main road like I do, they had the right to come up on the boulevard area and check your tags and your sticker, right? They passed it in Illinois to where now they can come up on your personal property of your driveway and check your tags. I find that crazy. It's like, where is your right of your own property?
Yeah. And every year we seem to give up a little bit more of our rights, you know.
This guy here said this 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, and why we're in debt. Let him...
What does Georgie say?
But there's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. Never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy businesses, just that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Ain't any better than that.
No.
That's true.
You know, if my grandparents have long passed away, if they woke up today, they look around, they wouldn't know where they are. They couldn't identify this country. America is changing and changing. I'm not trying to stop the changes. I just want everybody out there to realize, stop being passive. Stop accepting everything.
Right.
You don't need to grab a gun. You don't have to go out there and start shooting people, but you got to start holding people accountable. This law you're passing, how does it affect us? What is your purpose? You've got to put this together. Why are we in Vietnam? Why are we in Cambodia? Why are we in Laos? Why are we in Afghanistan? Why don't we know these things? Why aren't they just coming in?
Because we're not supposed to know.
Nope.
We're not supposed to know. And the media is bought by the top people anyway, so they're only going to put out what they want the American people to see. The sad thing is, as I talk to people in different countries, you don't hear anything about certain countries and what goes on in other places. Why? Because they don't want us to know.
Yeah.
They don't want us to know. Oh, and you know.
Guess what?
Oh, real quick, Phil. On the 30th for the surgery It'll be at 7 in the morning, and he'll be out by 3 in the afternoon, give or take. Just so you know. Anyways, but yeah, in regards to like where I'm at, if you have a garage sale, you know how many times police have rolled up in my driveway and they've gotten out of their squad and looking around, what's going on? Am I a garage sale?
Now, because that's on your property, you don't have to get a permit with the city, do you? That still is your property, right?
Right. That's not my property they roll up on.
Hmm.
There's nothing I can do except just be polite and it's a garage sale. Just what the sign says.
You know, this is crazy, Bill, but, you know, Sunday is the Long Beach Bike Fest.
No,
the Queen Mary. It's going to be
a the bike show. Okay.
The bike show.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We were there last year, two years ago. Where were you? Yeah.
And City of Long Beach, going to run another traffic.
Not that bullshit again.
So your best way to go is get off the freeway, make a left, go 3 blocks, and you go right into the parking lot. Stay off the main streets.
Yeah. And don't take any secondary streets at all.
Nope.
Because we know for a fact they told us that they'll be busting everybody they can.
Yep.
Oh, get a piece of paper and a pencil, Phil. I'm going to give you a search engine that you can use, and nobody can get in there. No one. Not here. Because this is from out of country. It's safe. It doesn't use, keep the cookies, nothing. I use it all the time. I don't worry about it. It is start, START, page, PAGE.com. Install it and only use that. Like if you go to Facebook, if you go to your email, because it is privately owned out of the Netherlands and the U.S. government cannot track what you're doing.
Mm. And what's that, buddy?
It's like when you're on a computer, if whatever you go to do on the computer, you use this particular, it's what they call a search page, okay? And once it's installed, it's on like your toolbar, you know, use it. Because the government here cannot access into it because the Netherlands will not allow them to get in there. And like I said, you can search for anything. You can do anything. They don't keep the history. Nothing.
Hmm.
It's nice. The cleanest search engine out there.
And it's based out of the country.
The Netherlands. Yep.
Netherlands.
And they will not allow the U.S. government in it.
Now,
and if more people knew that, they'd use it.
One of the guys came in the shop today, and I didn't hear anything of this at all, so I'm going to ask. With all this information being leaked by this this rogue that's out there right now running around from country to country trying to find some country.
Oh, Snowden?
He's
been in the Russian airport. He's waiting on who's going to give him asylum. Venezuela is close to giving him an answer because Russia doesn't want him to live in the airport. You know what I mean? But the kid is stuck. Or the guy, I presume he's a kid. He looks like a kid to me. And, you know, the government.
You look like a kid to us.
But I mean, the government in Russia does not see him as a spy or anything as, you know, they're calling him here, you know, that he's a spy. They just said he flat out told the truth. They don't see a problem with him. They're not going to hold him. But, you know, they've taken his passport, not Russia, but the states, you know, have closed his passport. But he will be able to fly out of Russia as soon as Venezuela, you know, or there's another country, for the love of God, I can't think of it. If they give the okay to give him the political asylum, it'll be gone. And they won't be able to touch him.
Now, because this the guy came in and talked to me, he said, because of this information which the world has access to now, many countries are now filing a lawsuit against America for spying on their interests and all that. And I heard
right.
there's quite a few countries all going to sue America. Boys and girls, we ain't got the money for this.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to have to bring this guy in as a witness or just the information given, but I heard country after country after country is all now trying to bring America into international court for spying, and they want some cash, kickback or something. Not kickback, they want money for what the
America's
done.
It's a compensation or something. I know what you're trying to say there. And, you know, what people in other countries don't realize is, yeah, they are being listened to if they talk to anybody in the States.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if it's on Skype. It doesn't matter if it's on your cell phone. Doesn't matter if it's through your email. They are watching. They are looking. They are doing everything. And that's why I use this one particular search page, and, you know, because they can't access in it, period. And it bothers them. Oh, wow, get over it. Now, I'm not doing anything wrong or illegal, but, you know, if I'm talking to someone in Germany or in Greece and, hey, how's it going? How's the weather? Whatever. Why should they be listening to it? There's nothing there.
I understand that. Well, it's such a misconception, I guess, because we're not controlled. Philip and I don't have sponsors. We don't have anybody looking at us. I think that's what's making, we certainly know at least the local governments. They're all up our asses here, what's going on. Everybody thinks that we're giving out secret codes to you people back in the East Coast. No, we're just Americans, in some case, Europeans, calling the show or talking about what's going on in their country. What could be more honest than that is giving free information? And yet,
right,
we're
constantly
undercover spies, and I'm passing special codes out to you, you know?
Well, let's look at it this way. When we were getting bombarded with all those, you know, storms here, there was one particular day. There were tornadoes that were coming around my area, okay, counties around my area. So I thought, okay, well, there's people I grew up with. There, you know, I talked to on social website. I went to go post it, you know, for people to be aware. If you're not, you know, at home, heads up, it would not allow me to post it. It would not allow me to post it. I went to go ask a friend of mine that I grew up with, went to school with, said, can you do me a favor? He said, sure. I said, can you please post this to my wall so people are aware of what's coming? And they wouldn't allow him to post it. You know why? Because
no.
Weather is one of the things, if you go to post, they think it's a secret code. Are you kidding me? There's tornadoes coming. What is a secret code? Except be on the lookout. They're coming. You know what I mean? Get into some kind of shelter. They're off the road. But the government looks at if you post anything about the weather, it pertains to a code.
Hmm.
I don't know what it is. It's goofy.
Well, you know, we said over and over, we don't send out hidden messages. I decided tonight I'm going to send out a hidden message. Should I get this message straight in my head here? We hope all those people that are heading for Palm Springs this weekend, let's hope they have good weather. And a safe ride there.
It's really fucking hot out there, though.
Yeah, it's gonna be really fucking hot. So there's our first coded message ever put out here now. You've accused us of it, and I have now sent a message out there for all the people of Palm Springs. You have a heat wave coming.
Yes.
There we go.
And
a few people really understand that.
Crazy.
But you can see some of the hidden message in there, I hope.
I wish I knew what it was, because
we're gonna give a little shout out to Janine.
Janine?
Yeah, she's listening right now. That's Henry's wife.
Oh, does Henry know she's listening? Talk to us.
No. I don't know.
Oh, I don't.
He might be sitting there next to us. But
well, this is an adult show. They can.
Yeah.
You know.
We're gonna take a real quick break.
You think Janine's getting clothes on?
I don't know.
Okay. Just curious.
We're gonna.
Oh, it seems to me this whole world's gone crazy. There's too much hate and killing going on. The world
When I see the bare chest of a woman, my worries and my problems are all gone. No one thinks of fighting when they see a topless girl. Maybe if you would show yours too, we could save the world.
You know, I absolutely think that this it's a good feeling song. I mean, you know, we're not talking about political unrest. We're not just talking about, hey, you know what? Let's have a little fun every now and then. So what the heck? I don't know. Maybe we do get a little too serious all the time, and sometimes I think Philip and I are always yelling about this and that, and I'm kind of badgering our good friends on the radio here to get involved, get involved, get involved. Well, okay, every now and then I want you to have some fun, too. Because this weekend, Philip and I will be in Mexico having a little bit of fun for every one of you.
Right. And
good. I want to see pictures.
We will have a lot of pictures. I vote from Philippe. And we have got other people going to be taking pictures. We've got a magazine coming down, right, Phil? Yeah, so if they shoot pictures in their gallery, I'll be able to show you how to get in the gallery and do all that. Kind of interesting. We've got a caller, 508-615. Eunice, is that you, darling?
That's me. How you doing,
Hi,
girl?
Eunice.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Yeah,
how are you? Every song they put up there. And I love it for that. I says,
I'm sorry,
no,
I didn't say that again.
Her.
Yeah.
I says, I love every song that you put up there. And so
okay.
does Nara. You're supposed to love every song you put up. Because you wouldn't
well,
put up anything
like
that
last song,
other than being good.
Philip always plays that song. He takes his top off right away, and he's, you know, I don't know. But who are we to judge other people? If that's what he wants to do, you go and do that, Philip. It's okay. I think we need a camera so friends can watch you. Because you're a little out there, Phil.
Yeah, we got, Ryan, you're unmuted, but hold on a second. We're going to talk to
you.
What? So what did the doctor? Did you go to Boston yet, or what?
No, the 25th I go.
Okay.
And I
How
think
you
what they're going to prop. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. I get my bumps and bruises, but you want to know something? It is what it is, Phil, and I just have to take the swings and go with it. That's all.
Yeah.
And you've all convinced me. Convinced me that God doesn't want me up there yet, so I'm true
My
to
Irish
your word.
Grandmother would say it's because you haven't finished your job down here yet. God's not quite ready. You've got something else to do. My grandmother really believes in that. She said, other than that, there's no reason I'd still be alive with my lifestyle.
Right. I get a little discouraged sometimes, but then I get some excuse the profanity assholes that really get me angry, and it brings me right back to what I'm supposed to be doing. As I told the senator the other
day. If as a
senator the other day. I'm sorry.
Problems, and the best thing we tell my wife is the doctor, stop thinking about yesterday, stop worrying about tomorrow, just really appreciate what you have today. Stop saying, hey, I was so much better 5 years ago. Where am I going to be 5 years down the road? Appreciate, Eunice, what you have today. Be thankful for it, girl, because today is what you have right now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's what I'm doing, you know, appreciating what I have today. And that's the most important thing. Today was a pretty good day, you know. Tomorrow, we'll just take it on when it comes, that's all.
I should point out that this trip to Mexico, which Phil and I'll talk about in a little bit, this will be my wife's first time on a motorcycle in over a year.
You're kidding me.
We made a shakedown run 2 weeks ago. I stayed in America. I went north the same amount of distance as going to take me to go down south this weekend. And we get off the bike, and I checked my wife's thighs out, and I checked her butt out, and I checked her back out, sissy bar seat. I was trying to make sure everything was comfortable. She made it okay, so this will be the first ride in a year. And the reason she wants to go, she doesn't want me in Mexico without her. I seem to get lost, in trouble. It's not like my being down the road. I went over to Arizona for a party a while ago, and she said, go, I'd have a good time with the guys. But she said, no, Mexico, she's going to get out of the wheelchair. She's going to be on the bike just to make sure that... I don't know, make sure I'm...
So you got a chaperone this time.
Oh, I got a chaperone this time. But I'll be on stage with a contest, though, so she accepts that. It's my lifestyle. But,
That's good.
So everybody keep your fingers crossed that the wife makes it both ways.
She will.
She's a trooper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the whole thing. You got to be a trooper in this world. You know, so...
Well, the hotel we're staying in, she'll step out the door, she'll be right on the beach. So I'm hoping it cools off. She can't walk hardly anywhere else, but maybe walking a little bit in the salt water, you know, an inch or two in the water, walking. Then maybe it'll make her just kind of feel the beach sand and all that.
Yeah, you've got to stay right between those two poles. You can't go either way.
Yeah, I know.
It's only about 50 yards.
She couldn't walk 150 yards her whole life, you know, if the place is on fire. But if she can get a few, you know, say 2 inches of water, salt water.
Usually about 8 o'clock, everything gets crazy.
It gets a little cool, yeah.
No, it gets a little cool, but it also gets a little crazy.
Well, I'm going to try to get her sun goes down, because once you and I start working the bar or the club, if it ain't going crazy, then Philip and I aren't doing our job.
That's correct.
And our job is to
if you saw
make
the pictures
it
from
crazy.
Last year.
Yes.
But we have Ryan on the phone.
Where's Ryan? I'll see what. Well, there he is.
Hey, Bill, how are you doing, man? This is Ryan from KR Productions in Colorado. I hope
always
everybody's having a great night.
Yeah,
How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good. How are you doing, Eunice?
I'm doing good.
Good deal.
Doing good. Got a lot of people with a lot of good prayers, and that's all I need, right?
Exactly. That's honestly, that's what we all need.
Yeah. So. That's all that we need.
Is
good friends.
Is Katie 303, Ryan?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill. I'll let you introduce her.
Oh, Katie. What an interesting way to spell Katie.
Hello.
Hi, Katie. What made you decide to spell your name that way, K-A-I-T-Y? Is that a family trait, or is that something you just like the way it looks in writing?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you very much for inviting me to be on the show. Thanks, Ryan. The I in my name, that was actually because in eighth grade, I was like, man, my name is so unoriginal. Like, I hate being named Katie. And because everybody's name is Katie in my generation. So I was like, I'm going to be unique. So I added the I in the spelling of my name just to do it.
I wasn't sure if I was mispronouncing it. I didn't know if that I was silent or not. So I was trying to work it out in my head, but it came out KT, so that was okay.
Okay.
I hate to miss. And Philip dumps things on me. He doesn't tell me. He says, read it, Bill. I never read it before, so now I'm trying to not make a mistake. So I'm glad tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would. Where are you calling us from?
Well,
Colorado?
I'm calling you from Boulder, Colorado. I just started working with Ryan as one of his models. It's a lot of fun. I'm 21. I work as a barista in the little shopping center that I'm currently sitting in, which is a very fun job. I also do freelance graphic design work, which is a total blast. And sometimes, not very often, but sometimes when I get to, I go-go dance, which is actually how I met Ryan. I was dancing at this super cool show, and that's just my total passion is dancing. I absolutely love it. It's so much fun. It makes my heart feel so free. So that's me in a nutshell. I'm super into tattoos right now, which is why Ryan and I did a shoot. I'm covered in them, and I'm continuing to get more. I got one 2 days ago, actually, so that's my thing. I'm an art collector inside and out.
Katie, let me ask this question here, because a lot of women I know, first of all, we're in Southern California, so Phil and I got tattoo parlors everywhere, but a lot of women still walk up. I'm thinking about getting a tattoo. I don't know. And all I can say to them is, if you think you want to do it, then just go ahead and do it. It's something that you want. But is there a theme to your tattoos? Is there a format? Or did you start independently and just put a few different pieces that you like on it? Can you tuck us down the trail as to your tattoo? What led one to the other?
The reason we brought this up is because I got a lot of some text messages and some emails saying that you have a lot of interesting tattoos.
This is true. Well, let's see. The reason I started getting them was because I had this idea in my head, this understanding that I had back when I was, I guess I started getting them when I was 19, and I had this understanding of the world around me and how it worked, and I was like, I want to express the way that I feel about how the world works in an external way, because I'm a very, I wear my personality on my sleeve. What you see is what you get with me. Like, I don't try to hide from reality. I'm a very real person. And so, to me, all my tattoos are sort of expression of who I am and what I love and what I do on the surface of my body. So a lot of my tattoos are bits and pieces that have sort of coalesced into larger pieces. And all of them have come from different inspirations at different times in my life. Again, my first one was sort of my understanding of the way the universe works. My next ones came because my very best friend at the time decided he wanted to learn how to do tattoos. So I was like, okay, well, you know what? I believe in you. I love you, and I believe in your art. So I am going to let you use me as practice. So he took the ideas that I had, and he learned how to do his art form using my right leg, and it's actually turned out really beautiful. Obviously they're done by an amateur, but it has more meaning because of it, you know. And then over the years that I've been getting them, I've fully collected them based on how I feel and who I am in the moment, and I think that that makes my art very unique and personal to me.
Katie, do you feel that it's kind of important to be able to have tattoos and yet cover them up? And by that I mean, like, do you have tattoos over your hands and your neck? Do you believe that it's much easier in today's society for attractive women as yourself to have tattoos, but yet the same way, if need be, like going to court, for example, to have something that you could wear, a shirt, a three-quarter sleeve shirt, something where people wouldn't know unless you want them to know? How do you feel about that?
Well, I believe that that's important for some people. It depends on, you know, who you are and what you want to do with your life path. My best friend has a few that she has put on spots where she can hide. She has one on her back and she has two on her ribs, so that if she needs to present herself in a professional manner, whether she's getting a job or trying to get, she works with children. So in those situations, you know, I feel it's more of a personal choice. Like for me, I've gotten to the point where I pretty much can't hide my tattoos anymore. And I feel like even if I am in a professional setting, if I'm going to court, if I'm doing something like that, they just are so much embedded in the fabric of who I am as a human being that trying to hide them is not even worth my time. Again, it is important for some people, depending on what they want to do and who they want to be, but for who I want to be and who I want to present myself to the world as, I feel like it's such an important part of me that I don't want to hide it.
Now, these are some questions I know people are going to ask about. What about your family? Are they comfortable with it? Some of my friends don't have tattoos yet. They want to do it. Their concern is, of course, the job market. Their concern about first impressions, and their concern about how their family is going to react to it. Can you tell us how family and friends reacted as you started to expand in the tattoo world?
Yes, my family. My father was a little bit concerned about it at first, but he, you know, my family all knows that I am a very headstrong individual and have always been, and if I want to do something, I'm going to do it and nobody's going to stop me. And so my father was a little bit like, at first, but now that I have so many, he doesn't even care. I keep telling him I'm going to get a tattoo for him. I have this awesome plan of the tattoo I'm going to get for my dad. And he's like, whatever, I don't care what you do with your body. And my mother is my best friend in the whole world. I got really lucky. And I actually, for my mom's 53rd birthday this year, I got her first tattoo. We have matching ones. We have the word Shanti in Sanskrit on our forearms so that when we put our arms next to each other, they line up, because my mom and I, our lives have paralleled throughout the entire time that I've been alive. So it seems fitting that we had parallel tattoos.
Shanti means, in English, translation.
Oh, I'm sorry. It means inner peace.
Okay.
But for some people, like, again, my best friend, it's harder for their families and their coworkers to accept, and they have a problem with the social stigmas that are still attached to them. I get asked about it a lot by older patrons at the cafe because we have a lot of older clients. And, you know, what I tell them is that because our society has evolved from where it was before, it's it's not really like a symbol of, you know, anger, toughness, or like it's not just something that like sailors and army people get. It's something that everyone gets because, I mean, as it has always been since, you know, the days that we all lived in tribes, like tattoos are an expression, they're an art form, and they don't symbolize, you know, being rough and tough and whatever. They just symbolize who you are on the inside, on the outside.
Katie.
Yes.
I've been in Boulder, Colorado just once, and that's when it's very small, isn't it? Is Boulder
it's,
very
it's
small?
It's pretty small. It's
yeah,
not that small. It's like a small city.
Yeah, because my cousin, Paul Romero, lived there with his wife, Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Stacy. And I just loved it. I had so much fun down there. This is going back in the 70s, I think it was, you know.
Uh-huh,
we had such
the golden
a great,
age.
Yes, we had such a great time. We went out partying, and his wife made tacos. I'm telling you, they were
nice.
So good. They burnt my nose, but I just kept eating them. That's how good they were.
I
and,
love
of course,
that.
They burnt the other side just as well the next day, you know. But I just loved Boulder, Colorado. My mother lived in Colorado Springs out there.
Oh,
too.
Man, it's beautiful down there.
Isn't it? It's just,
mm-hmm.
I just loved it. We looked out our kitchen window and we seen the desert. And then we went out on her patio and seen the mountains. So it was absolutely beautiful there.
Oh, I'm glad you loved it. Colorado is the best place.
And it's so friendly. I mean, we rented a car and I'd drive up at a light and they'd say, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, good, how are you?" You know? Of course, you don't get that back in Massachusetts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No, you get the
you
bird.
Say hi
oh,
to
yeah.
somebody. Yeah, you say hi to somebody. What do you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or you get a dirty look, one or the other. But I just loved it. When you ever said Boulder, Colorado, I says, I have to interrupt here. And I know that I spent about 3 weeks out there. I just loved it.
Well, I'm
just
glad to hear
it.
You say that. This is my hometown. It's the only place I've ever lived. I was born here and raised here. And, I mean, maybe that's why I have this sort of attitude of, like, you know, I don't really care what people think. I'm going to be who I am no matter what.
Right.
And express who I am. And, I mean, maybe that wouldn't go over so well somewhere on the East Coast, like Massachusetts. But for the culture that I live in and the times that I live in, I think I'm doing okay. But I'm glad to hear
yeah.
that you love my town because it really is a beautiful place, and I'm blessed to have grown up here.
Yeah, my mother's sister had adopted a lot of Mexican children,
mm-hmm.
and she married Romero, and I loved him. And when we were down there, he took me up through the mountains, and I had him laughing so hard. My mother and I get up in the mountains to go to the ladies' room, you know, because there's no ladies'
yeah.
rooms up there, so you have to go in the forest or woods or whatever. And I'll never forget it. My mother had this girdle on, and it got stuck on a branch. And then she had a chipmunk looking at her going, well, I'm telling you, she pulled away, and that girdle stretched a mile after my mother.
Oh, my
God. I mean, it was so funny. My uncle says, you get us into more trouble, you know. But we went up over the mountains and went into New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had just such a wonderful time. I hated to come back. I really did. I really did. If I didn't have any children, I wouldn't have come back. Huh? Oh, I'd
love to.
You got to
come back and visit us.
Oh, yeah. I tell Ryan that I would do that.
Mm-hmm. Meet
you. Ryan. Yes, I'm dying to meet you too.
Well, you know,
I
if
really
anybody
am.
Gives you a hard time, this is all I want you to tell them.
I don't give a fuck. You know, I'm going back in my time for a second. I don't know if anybody beside myself remember that. Did Mork and Mindy live in Boulder, Colorado from the TV show? Does anybody know that?
Yeah. The outside shots for Mork and Mindy were filmed there. We drive past the house all the time. My mom always tells me the story of, like, 30 years ago, she was working at this little cookie shop down on Pearl Street, which is, like, our big main shopping center, and she walks outside, and Robin Williams is standing right there, and they were, like, shooting a scene, like, right in front of her cookie shop, and she was like, it was the greatest moment of my life, because I got to see Mork in person.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that is where that was shot. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I just loved it. I've got to go back. I still have relatives out in Colorado Springs. So, you know, my first cousins, so they're out there. So. Mm-hmm.
No, are they anywhere near the Black Forest where that was all on fire here a couple weeks back? Or do you know?
I don't know.
There's been a whole lot of houses, some 500 houses, I believe, were destroyed in a fire a couple weeks back.
Was like the most destructive fire in Colorado's history or something crazy like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
a short time ago.
Yeah. I've got to get back there, though. I have my cousin Herbie. He was in Vegas during the winter time, but he goes back to Colorado Springs in the summertime. And he is,
nice.
You know, many times said to me, you got to come out, you know. But I think I will.
We get somebody trying to call on 323. They're really trying to jump in and ask a question or two. So 323-868. Tell us a little bit.
Hello,
tell us who
Melissa. How are you guys doing?
Oh, hi. Good evening.
Hello. Good. I just want to say hi to you guys because I saw you at the Motorfest Music Festival the other day for the troops. And I said I'd call in, so I'm calling in. But I love your guest. Everything she said about tattoos and how she put it is so eloquent. And she needs to be the poster girl for people that are against it because I like how she said she wears her personality on her sleeve, embedding part of her. I don't know you, but you're awesome. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you.
Awesome.
That was very sweet of you.
I've never heard it put so good. I've heard people try to defend it, and they come off sounding like a jackass, and you just made it sound beautiful, and that story with you and your mom was great. I loved it.
Well, thank you. I've done this spiel several times because that was, you know, I had to go into a lot of detail when I was trying to explain this whole thing to my grandmother the other day because she's like, well, what are you going to do in 10 years when you want to get rid of them? I'm like, why would I want to get rid of them in 10 years? And I had to explain to her because there's a whole generation gap that she doesn't understand. Like, you know, back when my grandmother was young, like, you cut your hair in a weird way and that was how you rebelled. And now it's like, you know, you get tattoos all over your body and that's how you stand out. But, like, she just didn't understand the art portion of it and how it really is truly an art form and is not just a form of you know, social dissension. It's a beautiful form of art that needs to have the respect that it deserves. So thank you. I appreciate your compliment. That's very cool to hear.
Well, it was very cool to hear your stories because I'm a mom and I just had my daughter's nose pierced with mine and she's 13 and everybody's on my case because I'm destroying her beautiful face. And I said, you know, I'm not going to walk around and let her put spikes into her face. But
yeah.
I can't have piercings on my body and tattoos and then look at my kid and say, you know what, that makes you trashy, that makes you evil, because then what am I saying about myself, you know? So
yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
You know what? So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to put that out there for all of the people around the world who are in the same boat as us, who are okay with this and don't understand why it's like a big social taboo. Because it shouldn't be. It's not necessary. Like, I got my nose pierced when I was 13. I got my ears pierced when I was 5. You're not changing who you are by changing your appearance. Like, change comes from within, not from outside. And people that think that are foolish.
Exactly. So,
you know what you could tell those people is,
and as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers.
That's our boy Philip. Let me ask you a question, Katie. Let's deviate slightly from back into the modeling. Now, do you feel? Ask how tall you are.
What?
I am 5'9".
5'9". Now, do you feel 5'9"? Because a lot of girls ask, we're getting weird things from different people. Is there a good height to be shooting, you know, a photographer right now as a model? Is there something, or with, of course, the right of clothing, the right stiletto heels, I mean, you can stretch your body taller and all that, but 5'9", is that a good size for girls? Because people ask me all kind of weird stuff here on this machine.
You know what? You should ask Ryan that question. He's the expert, man.
Tell you what, I take all of the people that everyone else considers rejects. Well, I do. You know, the people that have tattoos, photographers tend to shy away from them, and I love it. I love the expressiveness that people have in their tattoos. Some of my best models are 5'2", and if you're in L.A. or New York, you've got to be 5'11 to be a model. I think everybody's beautiful in their own way, and I think that if you're basically your everything about you, your charisma and all of that shines through, you can make anything work. And honestly, at 5'9", she did awesome. I have no complaints whatsoever. Her attitude, the tattoos, the way she moves with her body, everything's perfect. As far as another photographer, everybody's got their own opinion, and you know, they're kind of like assholes. Everybody has one. But I think everybody's beautiful, and I think she's awesome the way she is.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That was very well put. Can I get your guys' information? We live in California, and we do photography, and I like what you're saying because I agree with you. Most people don't like to take what's considered whatever, you know, what the mainstream is, and I'm like, well, if you're going to put a, as you say, 5'11", anorexic out there, and that's the only thing that you see, there's so many other beautiful people. And I'm seeing that, like, I just don't watch people and shoot them on the streets in L.A., and you get the best pictures ever. And so I like what you're saying. And I'm sorry, I didn't need to butt in. But.
Oh,
no,
that's
no
fine.
You're fine. You're absolutely fine. Do you have access to the blog right now?
Actually, I'm on my cell phone right now that I do not know how to run. My daughter has to run it for me, and she's not with me. But if you can get a hold of Phil knows who I am. I'm on his Facebook quite a bit. So.
Okay. Well, I put both of our links in the blog, and if you like, if you go to krproductionscolorado.com, it has a contact us page. If you want to shoot me a quick email, and it also has my phone number, you're more than welcome to call me. And my number is 970-978-1742. I will put you in touch with her fan page where you can follow her and check out her work, and I'd be more than happy to put you on mine as well, and we can see what we have going on out here in Colorado.
I would love
Thanks,
and you said you like to go-go dance, so if you ever make it out this way, I have a friend who's a go-go dancer dash model, and she's always looking for people to go work with her, so I can help you out with that amazing lady. Love, love, love her. Crazy little woman, but yeah.
Of course.
So,
you got to be
so
crazy to be a go-go dancer.
Exactly. She does go-go dancing. She does modeling, but she's I met her one day and fell in love with her personality. We were actually doing a shoot for somebody else, and she was just there hanging out with the people we were shooting were her friends, and we got to be really good friends, and she's been very supportive. So, you know, anytime you're out this way, just let me know. So.
Cool. That would be awesome. Thank you. And, hey, I wanted to say something about what you said before. I really appreciate that both of you like real people. Not just pictures of the same damn model, making the same damn model face over and over again. All the girls on America's Next Top Model who look exactly the same. Real people are where the beauty is in everyday life. I mean, I look across the cafe and I see the goofy old people who are 70 years old, and they're the most beautiful people in the cafe because they have love in their eyes when they look at each other.
Uh-oh.
I like that.
Everybody, hey, hold on for a second. Now, we've had these pictures up now, Phil, for about a week now. Can you tell us on your computer, put the buttons, whatever, how many people have watched these pictures this week alone?
5,332.
We say it one more time?
5,332.
That's not bad for one week for people checking in and listening. A lot of people won't get on the air. They're uncomfortable. But people are checking in the program. They're getting their own opinions on it. It's Americans talking to Americans. And I think this tattoo thing is touching a little more of a nerve than I thought it would. Maybe we could request some different pictures and go for next week, too.
Right.
Can you do that, Phil?
Sure.
Can you guys do that out there?
Yes,
Katie?
Absolutely. In fact, I can start touching some up and send them over to you in the next day or so.
That would be awesome.
So, or you can drive her ass back out to my place and we'll shoot again.
I got another tattoo since our last shoot, so we need to take more pictures.
There we go.
As long as I get it before Sunday night.
Okay.
Sweet.
And Melissa, I sent you a friend request.
Thank you very much. And as soon as I get home, I'm out and about right now on the road, as always. But as soon as I get home, probably about midnight tonight, I'll accept it. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And thank you, Phil and Bill. Love you guys. It was great seeing you at the last event. Love seeing you guys
Thank you, hon. It was good speaking with you.
Yes, definitely stay in touch. And anytime you're out this way, I can hook you up, okay?
That would be awesome. You rock.
All right. You guys all have a great night.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye now. You know, I was surprised that many people were still a little bit unsure about getting a tattoo.
I know.
I'm amazed how many women have been contacting us talking about, I'm thinking about it, but I'm not sure about that. I thought by this point in time, you know, if you wanted to have a tattoo, you'd have had a tattoo. What a great time for this lady to come on, because so many women are hitting us with questions and email and who's he watches this thing that Phil pays attention to.
Right. Well, never marry somebody without a tattoo, because people without tattoos have commitment problems. So just keep that in mind.
Oh, okay. Right.
But you're telling that to the girl who hasn't had a boyfriend in, like, 4 years.
Oh, no. You're bringing in the drought. The drought.
Well, listen, Bill and Phil, this old lady is... I've got to do some medication, and I don't want to pass out. All right.
Okay. Maybe we'll talk to you when we come back.
Talk to you guys later.
Take care of you, Eunice.
All right, Eunice. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, bye-bye.
I want to call Melissa back.
Okay.
We're going to do that right now.
Hey, this is Melissa Nguyen of Rockwell Anderson Media. If you need pictures, photo, and video, you know who to call. If you need a great radio station to listen to, tune into Rockwell on Scene. We will get back to you as soon as we can and have a rocking day. Thank you.
Okay, we got an answer machine. I don't want no dumb answer machine. Listen to the message and pick up the phone. Talk to Phil and Beal.
Well, she said you can't even use her phone. Remember, she said you had to get her 13-year-old daughter to help her do it.
That's right.
Very true.
All right, well, we'll see if
what
she calls back. We'll see if she calls back.
All right.
But, yeah.
I mean,
so what,
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say okay.
Go ahead.
Continue, I'm sorry.
No, you get the floor. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say, in terms of people calling in and being unsure about if they're going to get their first tattoo or not, especially women, what I would say to those people is that tattooing is an art form that isn't for everyone. Like, when people are like, oh, what should I get? I'm like, I'm not going to tell you what to get. Like, don't ask me that question. It's such a personal thing that when you have the design that's right for you and the time is right, you will know. But I would also say, don't be afraid. Like, being afraid is what will kill you. And what you got to do is just always do what you know is right for you and know that that is, everything will work out if that's truly what you do all the time. So,
some of the do's and don'ts. Do not go drinking before you get a tattoo. Would that be appropriate?
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
I know that we
don't go drinking and don't get anybody's name.
There we go. We had this beautiful, beautiful girl. She wanted her belly button pierced. And so I called my local partner and I said, you know, at the shop, blah, blah, blah. This is what she really wants to do. Well, she had a bad hangover the night before. She had no breakfast. She went out there. And as soon as he put the alcohol on her belly button, she passed out between his legs. So he picked the phone up and he called me. And he told this girl, she's passed out between my legs. I said, well, pick her face up. He said, do I have to? We got her awake and all that, and she went home. She's too afraid to do it. But the problem was drinking the night before and then not having any breakfast, the alcohol, it was just too much. So you got to prepare. You got to be in good shape. You got to be, by that I mean, you got to be good, you know, cardio's got to be good. You can't be doing this stuff around, you know, maybe I'll just go and do something. Although some tattoos are off the hook, just I'm going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Well...
Do it right.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I have an interesting story about this. So I have a nervous system disorder called a hypersensitive vagus nerve, and it makes it so that in certain situations, the pain receptors in my body will be bypassed and my brain will shut off. And it's happened to me several times. It happened to me when I was getting my belly button pierced. It happened to me when I was getting my conch pierced. It happened when I got the tattoo on the top of my foot. And it's totally unpredictable, and there's absolutely no treatment for it. And it's the weirdest thing in the world. But that's just something that happens. And
you got your who's
it's
and
actually
what's
been...
After your belly button?
Yeah,
after
I got my
pierced?
Belly button.
You got your belly button.
Oh, let's see. I have my conch, which is the center, the
that's
very center
lost.
Of your ear.
Philip stopped right on that one. He's still stuck on that one. You know, not that I have much martial
arts. Something else.
Not that I have much martial art training, but I do a lot of, before I go see a doctor, before I do anything, I have a lot of Zen where I take myself away from the situation. Dennis is going to touch me. I take my mind to a different place. I'm still aware of the pain, but because my mind is much more relaxed, I deal with it more. But that's quite an interesting phenomenon to have the sensory nerves just to go to sleep, I guess, or run away. That's amazing.
It's really weird. But we figured out, like, you know, through the process of me getting so much ink done, because I have, like, if you count my pieces as individual pieces, I have 21. But, I mean, through the process of doing all this, my artist and I have learned a lot about the disorder, and it's actually really interesting. And like you said, because I have this problem, I have also learned to put my brain in that sort of Zen state. And it feels really good, right, when you can, like, totally just compartmentalize the pain, and it goes away, and it becomes something completely different where it's this, like, totally mellow Zen experience. And I love that. I love that about getting tattoos.
We're getting some texts in there. Can you tell us, or the people, ladies want to know, what would be the more sensitive areas, what would be less painful on the body? Obviously, if you don't want a person getting a first tattoo, being a very, very painful at it. Can you tell us a little about
see. Yeah, so I have them pretty much everywhere at this point, except my neck and my face and the tops of my hands. The most painful spots are the top of your foot, your ribs, as like the higher that you get on your ribs, the closer to your breast that you get, the more painful it is. Basically, you can figure out where it's going to be painful if you look at your body and you think, where do people not touch me? So the insides of your arms are, like, the inside upper parts of your arms are really painful. The inside and backs of your legs, the closer you get to joints, so, like, your kneecap and the back of your knee or where your elbow bends. Your neck, I've heard, is awful, and I don't think I'll ever get my face tattooed. Some easy spots, the upper outside parts of your arm, those are super easy. I have both of those done. Your thighs are pretty easy for a while, and your calves as well. I would highly suggest, if you're going to get a first one, doing it on your calf. Oh, your chest is really painful, too.
How
I have
about
one
your
right
back?
Above my heart. Your back's
would
easy.
Back?
Back's easy.
Over
your spine is not very fun, but I would say that, you know, if you're going to get a first tattoo and you're nervous about it, a good place to get it would either be on your back, like shoulder blades, something like that would be easy. But the only problem with that is that you can't see it. And sometimes it's nice to, like, the reason that my very first one that I have is on my wrist. It says, all it says is the word together. And it was my first one because I can see it all the time, and it's a reminder to me of something, so that's why getting it right there was a good idea. But, again, if you're nervous about it, definitely your back, your calf, somewhere on your arms would be a good place to start.
Do you go get your tattoos? Do you usually have a friend go in with you for a little moral support? Or at this point,
not
are you
anymore.
Bold enough now where if you decide you want a tattoo, you just go on your own and do it?
Oh, my artists are some of my closest friends.
Okay,
I work for one of my shops, and so I just go there and hang out with them. And, you know, we'll kick it for an hour, catch up, talk about all sorts of stuff, and then we will tattoo for a couple of hours, and then we'll kick back and have a glass of wine and smoke some cigarettes and just, like, talk about life. I've just become really close with my artists because they're such cool human beings. I love hanging out with tattoo artists, and the more that I've gotten to know them, like, that's why I have so many tattoos, because people just give me tattoos for free.
Okay, I got to clarify something real quick, though. You said you go and you kick back and you drink some wine and you smoke some cigarettes. Now, that second part's bullshit. You're smoking a roll or smoking a joint or a bowl, aren't you?
Well, yeah, that too.
Wait, and what's wrong with that?
Yeah,
what's
wrong
with that?
I was going to say, I met her at a cannabis rave, so there's nothing wrong with that, but I met her at a cannabis rave, and I wanted to call bullshit on her smoking cigarettes.
Thanks, Ryan. He's absolutely
5,000,
right.
How many people now know that she smokes dope? Okay, that's great. There we go. Should we repay a great pitch, a girl right
I'm
out of the
say on the radio, officially, I smoke weed.
All of Colorado does, legally.
Yes.
So.
Yes, we do. I'm not ashamed. All right, guys, I might have to go in a little bit because I'm currently sitting outside of the gym, and now I'm seeing lightning.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Well, you know, just so you guys know, Colorado today, one of your Democratic lawmakers introduced a bill that would shield banks from federal prosecution for conducting business with recently legalized marijuana retailers.
Be careful, Colorado.
Mm. Well, thank you for the warning. I feel like I should be. I feel like I should have known that.
Did we get a
well? Because basically, the pot business is still primarily cash only, Bill. I don't take the credit card.
Yeah.
In part, is due to the federal laws outlawing the drug spill. So.
Did we get a message or a way that people can reach Katie? Is something we can do for so the women can contact her?
Definitely.
Would you guys like my email address?
Is that comfortable or what?
Yeah, well, if you're comfortable, giving it over the air.
Totally.
A lot of people are going to contact you direct if that's, you know, your call.
But right now,
that would be awesome.
Right now you got me, then you can contact you through Ryan.
You're more comfortable with that, girl.
I can give you guys my email address, too. I'm totally okay with people emailing me. My email address is DIGITALOV3DESIGN. So that's Digital Love Design.
Again. Okay.
@gmail.com.
All right.
Okay, and I'm going to find your last email to me, Katie, and I'm going to post it in the blog if that's okay. That way they have your email
address.
Yeah,
that's absolutely fine. And again, I would love to come back and talk on the show again. So if you guys ever want to have me back, let me know, because I'm super down to talk more about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, I'd kind of like to do another follow-up, because we're getting quite a bit of people asking questions about this. So can we set something up, Phil?
Yeah,
next Thursday, can we fit something in?
Yeah,
okay.
Totally. Do you want to do the same time?
Yes, let's do that so we can get to follow up some of these questions here.
Okay, cool. Sounds good to me.
They don't want to come on the air, but they can ask us, and we'll push the messages on here. I hope I got all the pertinent questions the best I could there.
Cool. All right, well, guys, I'm going to head out so I don't get rained on. But thank you again so much for having me. It was such a blast.
Yeah, thank you for calling and sharing your life with us. Thank you.
No problem. And thanks again, Ryan, for inviting me.
Absolutely.
Ryan,
I'll be out in 45 minutes or so.
What?
Give me a shout in about 45 minutes or so, if you would.
Yeah, totally. All right, goodbye, you guys. Have a great rest of your night.
I was just saying, Ryan always has interesting friends, doesn't he?
Yeah.
They always seem like nice people.
Well, thank you.
I didn't say you were a nice guy. Don't get excited. I said you have
nice
friends.
I've got good judgment. I'm thanking you for recognizing my good judgment. I'm a piece of shit, but everybody I hang out with is pretty cool.
Hey, Ryan's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
How are you
please
doing, Nora?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain.
Good.
Hotter than
are you still
going to
try and get out this way?
I would love to try and get out there, but honestly, with the few things I've got going on, finances are getting kind of slim, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it out that far.
It's understandable.
So.
But hey, maybe next year. Never know.
With enough planning, I think we can make it happen.
Yeah.
So. had an event here a couple weeks ago I did for that Mosaic Down Syndrome organization.
Yeah, how did that turn out?
You know, it turned out pretty decent. We wrapped everything up. I flew a hula hooper out from Arkansas, which is sounds ridiculous, but it's beautiful to watch and hypnotic to watch her dancing the whole time she's got a hula hoop going. But I had a couple bouncy houses for kids, and the guy showed up to pick up the bouncy houses at the end of the day. We rolled up the houses. I helped him load them on the trailer, went back over, and in the time we loaded those on the trailer, somebody stole my generator.
Oh, no.
Right in front of everybody. We got a vehicle description, but we can't track them down. So was,
isn't that crazy?
Well, yeah, and I'm thinking, what a bunch of assholes to see this event going on where we're raising money for Down Syndrome, and they swing by and steal a generator that was powering these bouncy houses.
Oh, that was a
special place in hell for people like that.
Well, beyond hell.
Mm-hmm.
Hell would be a vacation spot.
Yes.
I don't know. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy and sick.
That it is. So what else is going on in the world? I've kind of been out of the loop here lately. I've been tied up with quite a few things here, so I haven't had a chance to call in or anything. But
well, were you on earlier when I was letting Bill know what's taking place here or no?
No, I just got on a couple moments before Phil got me on the air.
Okay, well, I'll put you to the speed real quick. Because there's so many murders that take place in Chicago, the governor is ready here to enforce the National Guard.
Really?
To keep things at bay, which, you know, it doesn't take much longer for it to be like how it was in Boston. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And now it doesn't matter that your vehicle is on your property. The police have the right to come up on your property to check tags.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
well, one of
you got to get
a
pencil.
Quite a bit out of hand.
You have to get a pencil and paper because I'm going to give you information on a search engine. Use this search engine because the government cannot track it.
Oh, okay.
Not that you do anything wrong, but it will help, you know.
Right. Well,
so
I don't like everybody
know
knowing what I'm doing, so let me grab a pen whenever you're ready.
Okay. Just download it. It'll come up on your bar. You can use it with Mozilla. You can use it with Chrome. You can use it with Internet Explorer and Yahoo and all those. It's Start, START, page. .com. That
okay.
search engine is out of the Netherlands, and they will not allow the U.S. to get into spy on what people do. So it's a private search engine. It doesn't hold the cookies, doesn't keep it, nothing like that.
Okay.
You're safe.
Cool. And it came up right off the bat. Okay.
Yeah. And I use it all the time. You can use it for your email, everything. Always use startpage.com as your search engine, whether if you go on Facebook, your email, anywhere. Use it.
Okay.
But
I'll see if I
can
get all that
out.
Stuff switched over.
Well, they have add-ons for Firefox and Google and Chrome and stuff like that. Even if you go on to Google, use startpage.com. To get on before you get on Google, and then they can't track it.
Right.
A little bit of help.
Oh, absolutely. So, what else is happening? How's the fundraiser and everything going on with
my grandson?
Grandson, yeah.
That you know, we got 142 likes on his page. From what I can see. And it's fine. The fundraising didn't really go, you know, and it's cool. Now, my daughter just came out of surgery almost 2 weeks ago. She couldn't eat for 7 months. I mean, anything she ate, it hurt her stomach so bad she was just scared to eat. it took him 7 months to find that she had gallstones and severely infected gallbladder. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Were we highly pissed? Yes, we were. but she's recovered. You know, maybe not at 100%, but she can eat full meal. She doesn't have any issues anymore. Thank God for that. They have moved back the date on Jonathan's surgery. That's going to be July 30th at 7 a.m., and he should be out 3-ish, give or take.
Long surgery.
Long surgery will be, yeah. Yeah. And he's got a lot of physical therapy he has to go through when the surgeons release him for that, for physical therapy and for motor skills, because his head is to the left. All the weight, you know, with the brain and everything is to the left. It has put his spine in a different place. You know, everything goes to the left.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to work with him to get him to become more straight, more towards, you know, the middle and everything. They're not doing anything with him now. My daughter and I, we do small things with him. Like when we have him on the floor, we'll put things to where he looks more to the right, but he still, you know, prefers that left. But we don't know if it hurts him, you know, because he can't talk yet. He's going to be 8 months and when he goes in, or just before he goes in for surgery. The motor skills, he is behind than other kids, but he'll get there. It's just a lot of work, a lot of work.
Right. A lot of work and a lot of patience on everybody else's behalf.
Yeah, well, you know, we have the patience. It's, you know, everybody else, you know. But he's got to look so different to us. You know, we don't see, unless if we hold him in front of a mirror, we do not see how his face and head is disfigured, you know. So once they do the surgery, it's going to be a shock for us. You know, are we ready for it? We are, but we're not. You know, it scares us. It's a long surgery for a baby. And I know babies go through all different kinds of surgeries every day, you know. And these neurosurgeons have performed numerous cranial facial surgeries, but does it make you feel any better? No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Exactly.
So as long as there's no complications, he'll be out within 5 days. But if there is complications, that's hard to say.
Right.
But after when he comes out of surgery, they will have a drainage tube in his head. And for how long that is to be placed, we don't know yet. His eyes will be sewn shut during the surgery so the eyes stay in place while they, you know, work in the socket area and stuff like that. They don't know how long the swelling will be with his eyes. It could be, he could heal quick, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he will be able to open his eyes, you know, within a day or two, but they don't know yet. And we don't know the recovery time. They won't say anything until after the surgery.
Okay. Now, with them working on his sockets and doing all of this cranial stuff, what kind of a risk is he for any sort of optic nerve damage? Because that's a very complex nerve that runs right through where it sounds like they're going to be working.
There's 1%. They already informed my daughter when she last saw the surgeons before she had her surgery. They've already informed her it's a 1%. With the eyes, it's 1% with the skull, and with him coming through surgery, you know, they're giving it a 1% chance all the way across the board.
A 1% negative chance, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're hoping that nothing will affect him where he, not that he would become special needs, but where he would just be a slower-paced child, you know.
Right.
We're not going to know about that until once he starts talking.
Right now,
he doesn't try to talk. He just makes noises. When he does scoot, he's starting to scoot now. Not particularly crawl. He drags his right arm as he pulls off with his left. So we
now,
don't
that
know
could
if
be
that's
from,
all combined.
That could be from pressure on the brain, however, though, right? With
yeah.
the way his skull
yeah.
is? Okay. You know, so and a lot
that's
of that,
where we're
you know, once
now.
His body goes into the healing process after all of these skull surgeries and everything else he has going, there's probably a big possibility he's going to take a while to get to where he should be just because
yeah.
his body's going to focus more on healing. So,
right. And,
you
know, that's why I said it's going to be a very slow process, very slow,
mm-hmm.
you know. And for the first month after surgery, he's going to be nothing but in and out with the surgeons constantly.
Right.
Because the metal plate that they're going to be putting in his skull after when they cut the forehead out, take it out, shave it down, reshape it, put it back in, the metal plate will dissolve out within a month or two after surgery, thank God. You know,
mm-hmm.
he won't have to live with that and set off metal detectors for the rest of his life. But, you know, if they had to do another surgery, if something didn't hold properly or whatever, they'll do it sometime after the initial surgery. We just don't
okay.
know on yet.
Okay. Now, is this something that he's going to have recurring every so many years? He'll have to go in and be reassessed and possibly have more surgeries done since he started off growing incorrectly, where it's going to continue?
As far as we know, no. They said this should be it, but you know what? Who knows? Every case is different. They're not all the same. And,
right.
you know, I mean, it's a godsend. His is in the front and in the face and not at the brain and the back where, you know, a lot of other children have. So we don't know.
Right.
They can say no, but something can happen. What if he bumps his head? You know what I mean? We just don't know.
Exactly. Well, and the benefit of all this is that he is so young and he's able to recuperate a whole lot faster than if this were happening when he was 15, 16 years old. So his body is at such a young stage that that's a huge benefit right now.
Oh, I know. And, you know, like I said, it has to be done. If not, he'll become blind. He'll have neurological problems and spinal damage the rest of his life. And,
right.
you know, his head won't be able to grow. Neither will his brain. You know. So, it's the hardest thing. I would not wish this on anyone. They won't do a genetics test until after he's semi-recovered so long after surgery. And if they see that's genetic, then my daughter knows she won't be able to have any more.
Right.
Not saying that's coming from my side of the family, but, you know, if it is genetic-based, you know, there's not going to be no more children because every child born, if it's genetic-based, will come out the same as him.
Right. But there's a lot of kids out there that are up for adoption, and they definitely
exactly.
can still have a full family if they would like to.
Exactly. And you know what? With everything this little guy has to go through, you know, having another child is not on my daughter's priority at this moment. You know what I mean?
Right.
We don't even talk about it, you know, because our main focus is with him, period.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm going to be a nervous wreck while my children are waiting for him to come out of surgery. It's going to be hard.
Oh, absolutely.
But not one person has ever approached my daughter and said, what's the matter with his head or his face? Not one person. I don't know if they don't see it or if they're just being polite. it still amazes me every day. No one says anything except just what a beautiful baby he is. But mm-hmm. at my daughter's request, when they shave his head, because they have to shave his hair off, they will give it to my daughter.
Nice.
Which is cool. Because he went from going dark, he's going blonde, you know, which isn't abnormal. My brother went the same way, and I guess, you know, the baby's dad, and he went the same way as well. So it's kind of cool.
Right.
We get to see his hair turn so far before they shave
right.
it off.
Well, and a lot of times also with head trauma, you'll get start off with two of the same colored eyes, and because of the head trauma, you'll gain an eye of two different colors.
Yeah.
So
I've actually, we don't know.
I say that's a one in a million possibility to have two different colored eyes, and it's becoming more common
right.
with all the people around.
Well, right now he's got hazel eyes, you know,
mm-hmm.
and in certain light you can see blue, you know, you'll see like a hint of a brown or something. His eyes change. It's kind of like a chameleon, you know. It's kind of cool, but you know, we don't know. Right now, both of his eyes are the same color. If they'll stay the same, we don't know.
Right.
All we know is we can't wait for it to be done with, but then, you know, we dread that day.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we still, you know, we take a lot of photos and stuff, and, you know, we put things up on his page, and, you know, if people like it, they do. If they don't, they don't. You know, there are a lot of people that went to like it and then removed off from it, so.
Right.
Well, you know that your family's in our prayers now. To be honest with you, I'm not the best praying man, but when I get home tonight, I'm going to ask my wife to include your whole family in our prayers. She's very heavy in that praying. Philip and I, our hearts, I'm just probably not that hardcore prayer. I hate to deviate a little bit, but Philip, we only have a few minutes left. We have to talk about that Mexican trip because so many people. Can you flip us back on that, buddy?
Go ahead.
I don't get the information up there. Can you give me?
Sure.
We're going to be going to Mexico this weekend. I think right now our number's about 300, to my knowledge. We're going from four or five different authorized dealerships in Los Angeles, San Diego.
300, no. More like 3,000.
Oh, my God. Well, our little group's going to be down. Yeah.
That's a big event.
We have got... That's why I was looking for this thing up there. Talk about organization, boys and girls. Once we cross the border, we have the escorted ride by the federal police. Now, in Mexico, you got the locals. They're the rurales. They're probably mispronouncing that. And you got the big boys. That's the federals. That's the federales. The federales, the federal police will escort us all the way down once we get into America to our party. We'll go to the hotel, get in there, and then we'll all go back to the private party at Papa's and Beer's. And I'm going to try to describe Papa's and Beers to you. It's a building with three sides. It has a roof. The fourth side faces the ocean. There's nothing there but...
A walkway.
Yeah. And the okay. floor itself is nothing there but a crosswalk. Or not a crosswalk. A wooden walkway, again, with all kind of sand all around it. So it's got no floor and one side missing with just big giant curtains going out there. We are right on the ocean. We'll be at Papa's and Beers. We're going to have a luncheon plate. Drink specials, of course, all night long. But T-shirt contest and tattoo contest. I don't know if I'm doing the tattoo. I know that Philip and I will be emceeing the wet T-shirt. Perhaps I'll do the tattoo. I don't have the live MC for entertainment, so I don't have to cut no records or spin nothing. Games go all night long. Raffles are crazy stuff. Most of it's tequila, 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 tequila. We'll throw some clothing and gift baskets in there. Vendors at the gazoos. 24-hour secure parking for riders with wristbands. Now, this is kind of important. Now, you worry about being in Mexico. Don't worry about Mexico. We got you covered every which way. We'll have the army there with machine guns. Registration will be at Sweetwater Harley-Davidson only on this Sunday. The authorized dealerships up in L.A., because of mailing stuff back and forth, they're not going to deal with it. They're all done with the program now. Anybody not registered can meet Phil and I in clubs from L.A., from everywhere. Sweetwater Harley-Davidson, 3201 Hoover Avenue, National City, California, 91950. And if you forgot all this, you want to give a phone number, it's 619 877-4477. We've had a lot of people contacting me and say, we'd like to ride up to your shop. I'm thinking, no, no, no. You're coming in from Arizona. You're just continue on 8. Meet me in Interstate 5 and we'll roll on down. Don't go all the way up, visit me, turn around, go back. Now, the ride line information, 909-612-7128. And you can contact, you read that part down.
LSA@yahoo.com.
I don't even like talking about that stuff. This event sells out. There's no way for you to miss this party. If you're worried about being in Mexico, get over it. We'll have insurance at the border, like a 24-hour insurance, 48-hour insurance, whatever you want to stay for. You get in, you stay, you get out. God forbid you fall down, something like that. Shit happens. Your insurance is no good in Mexico if you have American insurance, so we want you to get the supplement insurance.
Henry just sent me a message saying he wants to go, but his family reunion is scheduled for this weekend.
Henry, can you come down for a couple hours, say Saturday night from...
He ain't going.
Just a couple hours, Henry. We'll get you right back.
Yeah, he ain't
We'll
going
get you right back, Henry. Don't worry about it with that, yeah.
Hold on. It should be...
978.
Is that you, Pete?
Hey, brothers. How you doing?
Hey.
I know.
We're talking about our trip to Mexico, getting everybody fired up with that. I've had people call me late, but I
just wanted to wish you a safe and enjoyable trip there. I wish I was going.
Pete, I told you, Philip and I are on stage for the wet T-shirt contest and very possibly the tattoo contest. I assure you we're going to have a... Oh, you said safe. No, never mind. We're going to have a wild time. Safe
are
support, too.
Are you going to be in the wet T-shirt contest, Bill?
No, sir.
But this is the only guy I know that can... Women out of their clothes on the stage.
Everybody has a job. It's my job to separate the lovely women from their clothes. I'll be on stage with the mic, but I don't want that water near me frying my ass and all that. Now, one of the things that people don't understand, they say, well, what if something happens to you? We have the federal rallies, the federal police going to follow us in front of us, on side and behind, all the way down. These people are carrying, not pistols, they're carrying machine guns. We're going to have military jeeps with machine guns on tripods. I don't know what those are, Philip. You know that stuff there.
Yeah.
Military jeeps with machine guns and tripods falling us down. Our going back into Mexico, it is so important for the Mexican economy. Because of the cartel bullshit, everybody's afraid to go. We're bringing everybody down there. You're going to have a good time. I'm putting you in an outstanding hotel. Philip and I think it's one of the best there is. We're going to get everybody back to America. Then once again, you're on your own. This is put on by an organization called the Rolling Deep for Charities out of Los Angeles. And I don't remember Martin's last name now. Sorry. Do you remember it?
Resendez.
Are you fine Irishmen out there? Resendez. He and his L.A. crew are coming down. We're donating a lot of stuff for the Mexican orphanages and blah, blah, blah.
Because
of what?
Right here, Bill. I'll show
you. Yeah, I want to see it.
They just came up with... Paul's in Devil's Lake, North Dakota right now.
Looks like he's soaking wet.
No, he'll be back tomorrow night.
Okay.
But we have this thing called now, it's, you know, I told you we're doing that TV show for... It's called Writing for a Cause.
Yes, sir.
They already made the trailer for it.
Uh-huh.
Basically, they're filming like... They're going to film where, you know, there's 2 miles of bikes.
Right.
Over 2 miles. So ignorant people see this as 2 miles of trouble. But it's not. You know, the children were crossing the borders and ignoring negative media hype to see, sort of see it as 2 miles of hope. So on the other side of the border, they see it.
I want to say this
right now. On the side of the border, if you had 2 miles of bikers going somewhere.
I want to say this because this is important. Philip and I get this from some of our friends. Why you help those children out in Mexico? Philip and I work on a lot of veterans programs. We work a lot of charity events. I work a lot of children's programs. If I choose to help somebody in a foreign country that's a child, get off my case. I don't think the children understand politics. They don't understand what side of the border they're born on. Philip and I are down there. These people have little or nothing. A little bit. Believe me, it does your heart so good. Sometimes, Philip, I stop by the orphanage, just hold those kids.
As soon as they hear the bikes, it's like the gates open up.
Yeah.
And the only thing that we worry about is because the bikes are hot that they get burned.
Yeah, we'll keep the kids away.
Because it's very hard to get them
medical attention right away.
But we do tell people, please understand the fact that do not think for a second Philip and I do not spend an inordinate amount of time helping our American children out there. But the children in Mexico, it's a very strange country. I think only 10 families own 70% of the money, or something stupid.
You know, last year, Bill, you know, we had a couple of clowns that got out of Mercedes. Boy run. They get out of the Mercedes and then come up and ask for tickets to get a bike. And then they wonder why I told them to go get
fucked. We can deal with those people real quick.
Yeah, then they wonder why I told them to go get fucked.
Well, we've only got a few seconds left, so everybody have a great weekend. Philip and I will be taking off. God willing, the creek don't rise. We'll both be coming back across the border, and we'll try to give everybody pictures of all the stuff with that. Anybody coming to California next year, please make this on your holiday. Come on down south of the border.
Yeah,
especially
you guys have fun, man.
Especially if you like that nasty. Well, you should think about coming down there next year. Guys, I'm going to check out because my stomach is grumbling. I'm hungry. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Remember, without you guys, the show is just me and Phil, and that's boring as hell.
Yes.
We thank everybody for...
We're gonna let Kid Rock take us out with...
One of my good songs, too.
All summer long.
All summer long. Hope everybody likes that.
And then,
good night. You guys have a safe trip.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Ryan.
All my respects.
Good night.
Take care.